Welcome, everyone, to the second episode of Storyboarding Batman, the show where we decide to explore IPs. I haven't figured out the intro yet. We're going to talk about things that we want to do in our own way, make our own stories. And today, I have Zach with me. My name is Dante.
Hi, Dante.
Sorry, nice I'm really messing you. Up this intro, but we're going to go with
it. We're going to go with it. This is going to be in there forever.
And today, we're storyboarding Jumanji. All right, so
cue the intro music, which is just me going ba-da-da, da-da-da, da-da.
That'd be very confusing if it's a show called Storyboarding Batman, and then we talk about whatever we want. And then you have a theme song that is the Star Wars theme. There's that too many layers.
Some
of
guy
opposing IPs.
The Star Wars theme, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, Zach, where are you at with Jumanji?
The first one is a masterpiece, as is anything done, as is anything that has Robin Williams in it.
I thought you were going to be like anything done 80s and previous. And I was gonna be like,
a little bit. I'm in the level of you. There was a time, like, I think it was like 80s and early 90s, and maybe it's just because that's what I grew up with, those movies.
I think it is.
But there's a certain, like, charm to those movies.
There's charm. Oh, yeah. The era definitely comes through, but I have opinions about movies from that era.
It's just like, you know, that's like Jurassic Park and, like, and obviously Jumanji and
if we want
Flubber
to keep on the
and
Batman
Good Will Hunting
theme, Batman
and
89.
Batman 89. What?
Yeah, no, I don't like that movie very much. I like that it exists. But.
Yeah, not early 2000s, everything starts getting ruined. But like,
oh yeah, oh,
not
yeah.
80s and 90s, and you have the, you know, Indiana Jones was just kind of wrapped up, and Star Wars just kind of wrapped up, and there was this like atmosphere of like, there's so much hope for the future, and then we're here, and it's like, oh god, you were so wrong. But it was good.
But
I like the.
You know
movies.
What happened here, as a result of the 80s, is that we got sequels to Jumanji, and they're pretty good.
They're okay. They're not. If
it's not the same vibe,
cared,
but
yeah,
I,
at all.
They're a lot of fun.
Yeah, for sure. They're a great time.
Do you sound like you're a little bit more down on the newer ones.
No, okay. So in comparison to the original Jumanji, they're nothing alike. They're completely separate entities.
Yeah.
But that being said, they're a lot of fun. It's like for me, Jumanji is like tiramisu. Right, it's like well crafted, you know, meticulously made. Robin Williams and the weird monkey boy. That's the chocolate dust. Okay, and then these new movies are like a Snickers bar. Yeah, just they're thrown out there. It's a dollar. It's like that's pretty good. Yeah.
For a dollar, it's pretty good.
Yeah, you know? and then the sequels, Snickers with Almonds, where you're like, okay, I'll try it, and it's like, yeah, it's good too. Yeah,
I like the sequel better than the first reboot.
I actually haven't seen the sequel, so I don't know if
okay.
I can't really talk
the
about
sequel,
it.
The sequel, so, all right. So where I'm coming from is I quite like the original Jumanji. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say it's better though, because like the quality is relatively the same. It's just which
it's
vibe
different.
You're going for,
right?
It's like,
it,
because
it's
the original
preference.
is like pulp 80s, and then now is like pop modern, you know? It's the same thing. Ultimately, the emotional through line of all of them is the same strength, and like the fact that Robin Williams is in the first one definitely boosts it, but like The Rock and Kevin Hart and Jack Black and Karen Gillan are all really good in the new ones too.
That's true.
Like, so I think it's just like, I think ultimately it is the same idea. It's like, let's make a pulpy game about a game, like let's make a pulpy movie about a game playing off of this era, you know? Like, it definitely belongs in this era, and the modern movies definitely belong in the 2010s.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So I quite like the original. Funnily enough, I saw Jumanji maybe once as a kid, and even then I don't think I watched it all the way through, so all of these movies I've seen for the first time and enjoyed over the last couple of years.
Okay.
I think last year, actually, I purchased and watched all of them.
Nice, okay.
So I'm pretty new, but I quite like them. I really enjoy them. And the one that I grew up with more so, or I at least remember from my childhood more, was Zathura.
I was going to mention Zathura, yeah.
And Zathura's far more... It's like 89. It's like halfway between the like sci-fi of the 90s and the 80s kind of spookiness, you know?
Yeah. It's got it's directed by everyone's favorite chef, Jon Favreau.
Yeah. I guess I would consider that part of this universe, but I haven't watched it since I was a kid, so
it's a spin-off. It's the same idea. Conceit. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, so you play a board game, and then you go to space, there's an astronaut who's your brother! Spoilers, by the way.
But then he's not, because the timeline doesn't work out, so the game made him up and gave him the weird backstory.
Okay, that's what we'll have to be. We'll have to storyboard Zathura next, and just storyboard cut straight out. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's literally just going to be a storyboard of us figuring out where the timeline lines up.
Wait, so in this version, he floated...
Also, there's that weird thing at the end of Zathura where the bike falls back down. And it's like, well, did you actually go to space? Why did the bike fall down if you teleported to the same moment, you know?
Right.
When the game ends? It's very strange.
It was all a dream.
Because that implies that if the bike fell, it means the house came back down, which means all the pipes and everything for the house have been disconnected. So there's no water coming in.
And for storyboarding Jumanji, then what we do is we just make Zathura good. And that bike would stay up there, Jon Favreau. We know.
Anyway, So I watched all these pretty recently. I really like the original. Out of the new two, I actually like the second one better because it embraces the modern weirdness more. So in the original... The conceit is that it's a video game, and then the players from the real world get teleported into these avatars, which are the famous actors, The Rock, Kevin Hart, Karen Gillan, and Jack Black. Right. I really like Jack Black in that movie because he's possessed by the pretty high school girl, so there's a lot of fun comedy that comes out of that. The Rock is possessed by a insecure nerd kid, essentially, so that's fun. Him like discovering that he has muscles and everything is always really fun.
Him staring off in the distance and going like, don't cry.
Yeah,
cry.
Yeah, exactly.
That actually made me chuckle.
It's very good. I've grown to appreciate Kevin Hart because of some things that I've seen, but at that point I had only seen the first like 5 minutes of Central Intelligence, and then I bailed, and then Jumanji. So I assumed that Kevin Hart couldn't act, and he was just being Kevin Hart in that movie. But then I was disproven in the sequel, because he acts quite a bit. And then also, I saw Fatherhood, which is really, really good. So I rescind my earlier statements.
Any opportunity, we're going to bring up Fatherhood. That's every chance.
Yeah. But, so I realized that he could be a good actor. But in the first Jumanji, he's basically just Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
And so. Then Karen Gillan plays an insecure girl. It's fun. She and The Rock are kind of the same as far as like they play an insecure version of themselves, but the sequel is really, really fun, and I think a lot more fun because The Rock initially gets possessed by Danny DeVito. Kevin Hart gets possessed by Danny Glover, I think, the older Donald Glover. And then Jack Black is possessed by the black kid that possessed Kevin Hart in the first movie.
Right.
And it's very fun. It's a lot more, like, wacky. And then Awkwafina shows up, and she's the one that Spencer went in that time, and she's, like, a thief. But then she gets to play Danny DeVito later. It's very fun. I think that one, it just adds... It's the same. It's essentially the same plot, but with more funness.
Sure.
Which I quite enjoyed. So, how you feel on Jumanji though? Like, what do you like and what do you dislike? Obviously, we talked about what we liked. What do you dislike?
Dislike?
Or do you have a dislike?
Not really. There's actually a lot of versatility. I don't know how much. Well, that's not true. There's a lot you can do with Jumanji actually.
Yeah, because, especially with it changing.
Yeah, it changes, and then it's like, okay, what kind of movie do you want to go for? Do you want to go for, you know, you could do a survival horror.
Yeah,
with Jumanji, that'd be cool. You know?
Yeah, I think that'd be really cool.
That's my idea.
They kind of toy with that idea in the first movie.
Yeah,
because they're being hunted by what is it, Jean-Claude? No, John. whatever his name is, the hunter.
Yeah.
I really liked it. I also like, there's a theory that, like, I forget who exactly it was. I believe this was from Sans Pants, but there's a theory that the Jumanji doesn't actually pull out, like, real versions of things. It pulls out the idea of a thing. And so that's why in the first movie, the stampede is always a stampede. It never, like, breaks off and disperses, but it's because it's the idea of a stampede. And so it's just eternally a stampede. So the idea of a hunter, like a survival horror situation, like what if the game produced serial killer? Like, that'd be really cool, you know?
Yeah, I mean, in the movie, it's his dad, right?
Yeah, which is really weird.
No, that's perfect. It's literally him.
It's him dealing with his emotional.
I like that. Anyway, that's the whole thing.
Yeah. So I guess we can just jump right into it. Where would you take it? Because I have a couple ideas. I can pitch one of them real quick.
Sure, if you want to. Yeah. I mean, I'm just gonna go with a natural survival horror. I mean, I'd love.
What kind of survival horror would you go for, though? Like, would you do jungle?
For me personally, I would do a miniseries, and I would have the world. I would have it be the world thrown to disarray as like. Giant mosquitoes are coming out and like giant versions of insects and just
panda. Okay, so you're still having the game come out, because I thought when you said survival horror, I almost thought you were just like the idea was like we just follow Alan into Jumanji.
No, my idea is that it comes out, and then it's one of those things where I'd love to make a show where you don't know what's connected to anything.
Okay.
It's called something generic like Survive, and then at the end it's like the main characters track it down to where it's being played, and it's like, oh, hey, this is a board game. There's a bunch of terrified, or there's a bunch of cocoon children as giant spiders are wrapping. Oh my god! Just
the final thing is the title comes back and it's like Survive, and then underneath it comes out from the darkness Survive Jumanji.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, no, I really like that. I think that'd be really interesting. Because this game can kind of go anywhere. And like, it's always been kind of tied to jungle and animals, kind of like the adventuring survival kind of style.
Sure.
Which I do think is important, but like, do you think there would be, because. So the Zathura does exist, and they're like, yes. What if we do Jumanji but sci-fi? Do you think you could transplant Jumanji onto any other genres? Almost?
Yeah, Monopoly, it's called Our Capitalist Society. Got him! I got him, I'm kidding. I don't care. I'm a moderate. Who cares?
You made me laugh so hard I just freaking died. But no, like seriously, do you think you could transplant it onto any other? Could you do Jumanji noir?
Sure, yeah, like a murder mystery with Jumanji rules. Well, either you go in, it's like, oh good, now I'm Dick Stronggood,
Hardboiled detective. No. Porn name. Get a different name.
That's a bad name. No, that one.
Dick Stronggood is not a good name.
The point. It's supposed to be like
porn name.
That's the point. No, that's not a porn name. Don't even start with me. That's not a porn name.
No.
Okay. The point
Dick
is that's
good. Strong good is really bad.
No, it's supposed to be goofy. All right. God. Dick Rockefeller. We'll do that. How about
there you
that?
Go.
That
yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. All right.
Even though his name is now Dick Rockefeller, but that's fine. No, go ahead and. No, that's better. Oh. That's better.
Dick. Oh my gosh. Get rid of Dick. James. Jim. Robin Williams.
His name is Chad. It's just Chad. No last name. Hardball Detective Chad.
Yeah. Anyway. Continue with your idea, please.
Yeah, you can.
I don't want to go down the route of what if Jumanji was a porno, okay?
That's not what I'm saying. I'm just, I think it'd be interesting if you took it like, yeah, if you did a noir and you have to. It would be kind of interesting if it was like you have to solve the murder, but you're still constrained to the conceits of a noir and also the rules of the game. So even if you figure out who it is, there's still certain beats that have to be hit first.
Oh, yeah, that would be really clever. Like, you figure it out, and it's like, it's so obvious game. Like, it's a play on, like, how obvious some murder mysteries are. And, it's like, it's the butler. Come on.
You're telling the people around you, like, yeah, it's him. It's the guy who sells skin.
Wait, Zach.
Yes.
We invented Clue.
Yeah. That's fine.
What if you were sucked into Clue?
Right. That's great. I played the Clue movie.
Doesn't that exist, though? Awesome.
It does.
The movie Clue exists. That's basically what this is.
Yeah, it's fine. What's wrong with it? Fair. This is the first of many ideas. It's fine.
That's true. We invented a new Clue. I think it would be fun, though, to play with the idea that, like, it would be interesting if you figure it out and then the game has to, like, either the game changes so it's a new person and you're wrong now, or it's like it forces you to do the beats that you have to do. I couldn't help but imagine that it's still like a Jumanji noir. So Jumanji, for some reason, has to put jungle things into every version of itself.
Sure.
So I couldn't help but imagine that the person that comes to tell Jim Seabast or whatever the name was, that, you know, about the first murder or whatever, like, the, you know, the conceit of the film was just an ostrich in a hat.
Sure, that makes total sense. I'm with you. You do the hat, and then the ostrich is like, they killed them, disemboweled them, and then they squawks, and then he runs off and digs his head in the ground, and the hat goes flying. You do that, and then he's just like, well, it's obviously the guy who's being super nice to me. It's obviously Tommy Goodfellow. Is that allowed?
Yes, that's fine.
Okay, that's fine.
Stop talking about the names.
So Tommy Goodfellow is just like, it's like, it's obviously him. And then everyone acts like you didn't say that. And he's just like, he goes,
it's him.
I hope you figured out soon. After all, maybe the murders have just begun. And then he pulls out a gun. And then it's obviously him. And then it's just like, and he, you know. But then all the people around you are just like oblivious. You're like, it's him. It's like, and you're like, what do you think it is, Chad? It's like, it's him. He did that guy. You think it's the butcher? No, it's him. He has a bloody knife. He is currently murdering someone. I've been following him for days. We should check out the butcher's office. Like,
so the NPC you're talking to is facing you, and you're looking behind the NPC, and the guy's just repeatedly stabbing a body. You can hear the squelches of each stab, and they're like, "We should check the butcher's office." You're like, "No!"
and then the announcer's going like, "At the butcher's office." Like, how did we get here? You know.
This would be much better as like a little short film, like a 20-minute little YouTube video.
I'd do that. Yeah, I would do that.
That would be so much fun.
I don't know if you, now that I'm saying it, I don't necessarily know that you need the Jumanji conceit. You'd just be making fun of it.
No, it's just but. It's just Clue. It's literally Clue.
Yeah, but
we
made
Clue. I think that would be fun. Oh man, and then the next murder is committed with a stampede, and it's like Jumanji still has.
It's called noir, and I just keep making movies that are secretly Jumanji. So even though this is a joke on noir, all of a sudden there's a stampede that comes through, and it's like noir Jumanji, and I just keep doing that, no matter how ill-fitting it is. I will make Jumanji come in
that's
there
so
somewhere.
Good. It's like you make a new Clue movie, right? And you make it like that, and it's pretty funny because, you know, you're playing on like we just talked about, and then at the end of the movie it comes up with Clue Jumanji.
Just make a really emotional movie about the effects that cancer has on the family around you, and at the end, the mother, like, the heartbeat stops, and there's a moment of silence, and everyone's in the room, and then giant mosquitoes come in and kill everyone. It's like ER Jumanji.
I was
and then the series ends there. That's the whole movie.
I was imagining it coming up with cancer Jumanji. You know, Jumanji cancer would like turn you into a moss man or something. Like, it turns you into the thing or whatever.
I'll be the thing. I'll be a moss man. That sounds like fun.
Yeah. anyway.
I'm
okay. So Let me see what ideas I have that are not nearly as interesting as Cancer Jumanji.
Yes.
So I thought one aspect, and you could put this into any of the Jumanji films, would be like exploring the point of view of the side characters who are outside of Jumanji.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking with the first one.
What do you mean?
Like what I was pitching, where it's a survival horror, and they actually don't know that Jumanji is being played.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I was talking about like, so the game of Jumanji is happening.
Oh, and you're talking about like inside the game, like the NPCs.
Well, sure. No, what I was saying is like, so my version is this only applies to the newer ones, where the people get sucked into the game of Jumanji, and then the movie's about the people that are outside of Jumanji in the real world, and nothing changes.
It's come on the day-to-day lives, is that it?
Well, yeah. Well, I was thinking, like, it was more just, like, you'd have a couple more scenes about people reacting and, like, trying, you know, it becomes, like, a manhunt or something like that. But it's pretty funny to imagine it's just, like, Danny DeVito going about his life or whatever.
So it's just like, okay, so no context. This kid has gone missing. He's been gone for 10 years. And you follow a bunch of cult leads. You start thinking the detective shoe line is following it up, right? Good job. And he's like, this kid's been missing for 15 years, we gotta find him. And hunt it down, and they like, we blame the father, he did it, he killed the kid. And everyone's like, no. Father goes to jail.
And one of and the then, cops and then finds he goes, the game, gets sucked goes, into the game.
No, he finds the game and goes like, what's this? And then the credits come up. And it's CSI Miami, Jumanji edition, and then we continue yeah, on exactly. with that. Yeah.
And then you drop the plot line for the next episode.
No, the game is done. That's the end of the thing. It ends right there.
I also thought one riff on I have a big one I'm saving for the end, but okay. I thought a riff on the newer movies would be. If you got stuck in the video game, but you have infinite lives, because the big thing with the new movies is that you have three lives and you know, yeah. drama or whatever. But I think too many movies use the threat of death as like the line for drama. But I think it's fun when you get rid of that and you play with the idea of humans not being able to die. And what would you do? You know, an example of that is like time loop movies where you die and then you start the day over again.
Yes.
And you can kind of explore a lot more about like the human psyche and like what that does to someone. So having like Jumanji be more of like a prison, almost like an infinite video game hell sort of, would be interesting.
Yeah, I like that.
Where you don't die, but you don't know how to get out, and it's like an Uncharted style action adventure game. So you're always stressed and like at the edge of your wits, and you do die, but you just come back like Uncharted, you know?
Yeah, I like that.
I think that would be interesting. Mm-hmm. It'd also be cool again to do that in different kinds of games. It'd be really funny to do that in like a Life is Strange, where it's pretty normal life. Yeah, but like imagine like if you did that. Oh, that would be cool. So you could do it like that with the infinite lives, but the game keeps changing. So you finish a game and you go to a completely different game. Like you finish Mass Effect and then you're thrown into freaking Pong. You know? I don't know.
You're the paddle. You're the ball. My life is torture.
Dude, so freaking... do they?
What with TV shows?
There's an episode of Supernatural where they do that with TV shows. Very interesting.
I saw this the Scooby-Doo episode, right? Yeah.
Okay. I don't know much about Supernatural. No, I was going to say, so there's a version, it's kind of like Pong, but it's the one where you bounce the ball and it breaks the blocks that are above you. It was on the Game Boy, the original Game Boy, and it shows you that Mario gets into the little paddle that you are, and then you move it around. So you're playing as Mario controlling this little machine that he's moving around.
So yeah,
it's very good. Anyway, so do you have any other Jumanji ideas?
At this point, I think my conceit has been set up. I'm just going to keep making normal shows and shoehorn my Jumanji in there however possible.
What was that game that we played a bunch in college? where you pick different people.
Oh, the Yogg?
Yeah, the Yogg. Imagine being chucked into the Yogg. That'd be interesting.
Oh, that'd be horrible.
Yeah.
Love the Yogg. Good game.
The Yogg's like a 15-minute game where you pick people and you choose things to do around the town before the Yogg arrives and just kills everybody. And it depends how well you do, saves the town or doesn't.
Turned into a werewolf. That was fun.
That would be interesting. Having the Yogg, or like a version of the Yogg, as like you're in there, you're doing it, and then you have the time loop thing, but it's the Yogg that comes in like what, like 5 days or something like that.
Yeah.
And then just repeating. That would be a really cool story where it's like,
or some even horrible like, disaster, but yeah.
You could do it even outside. This is going away from Jumanji, but do it outside of Jumanji. Have it be more like Edge of Tomorrow, where. Mm-hmm. You're on the cusp of the apocalypse, and you have to figure out how to save everybody. That'd be really interesting.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah,
and it'd be cool too because like
living it and reliving it.
Yeah, and it'd be cool too because a lot of those stories are sci-fi, but the Yogg is like very clearly medieval, so that'd be cool.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just like, what do you do? Also, there's werewolves. So
I really hope that we become popular enough that this spikes the sales of the Yogg on Steam.
It's an old game, dude. It's good. It's about some old game.
I know, it's very old. It'd be really funny, though, if we're responsible. Even for, like, 5 more purchases, I'd be happy. 5 more people have bought the Yogg. I don't even own the Yogg.
It's good. It's good. It's good to have. It's a good party game to make everyone sad at the end.
Yeah. That's why I don't own it. No, I don't own it because we played out every ending in college.
We have not. I still haven't seen all the endings.
Well, sure, but like I felt like I had exhausted my interest in the game.
Sure, that's fair.
All right, so the big one that I thought was like it would be really interesting to do Jumanji Saw.
Jumanji Saw.
Like a Saw film.
I need to elaborate on this. I'm intrigued.
I think it'd be cool if you had like one or two sickos that love playing Jumanji and force other people to play with them. And it's like it's kind of like a torture device. It could be like a serial killer thing like Saw. Or it's just kind of like, you could also play it like Rick from Rick and Morty, where he just forces Morty to go on all the adventures with him.
Sure.
But it's just like somebody who's a glutton for punishment, essentially, and just loves going into Jumanji and just playing the game over and over and over again. And then in that one, you would have to have the lives thing to have the threat of death, because that's what their thrill is like, you know, it's, you know, the thrill of the game and playing and getting so close to death but winning. And then you could have them where, like, they lose people along the way, but they are like, well, it's the casualties of the game, you know? I think that would be really interesting.
Yeah, that's, like, it's, like, horrifying and dark, but I like that, yeah.
Yeah, like the whole conceit is really dark. But,
But Jumanji kind of lends itself to that as well, which is... That's the nice thing about Jumanji compared to some of the other things we've done is that it does have that versatility. Now, it might be a little bit too open, but...
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, where it's just like, you can do anything, and then I say, and then we end up with Jumanji Cancer Edition, and it's like, well, maybe we've gone too far.
That's still my favorite one. But I think, so we're stretching it a little bit because I think... If you were to ask most people how to do a Jumanji sequel, I think they would say that you have to keep the, like, jungle aspects, you know?
Sure.
I think you could do that with the Saw thing, though, where, like, somebody just loves how the game changes and evolves and just doing that experience, like, from the movies.
Right.
And just forces other people to play with them.
Yeah, it tricks people, even kidnaps people, and then, oh, God, that would be scary.
It'd be like a really dark episode of like Criminal Minds or something.
Black Mirror.
Or what's the one? X-Files? That's the one that's all supernatural.
X-Files, yeah.
Yeah. So. You could literally do an X-Files episode that's just this.
Yeah.
But I think that might be cool. You could also like it depends on how you want to play the antagonist, because you could play him as like a literal insane person that abducts people and plays the game, or you could play it as like someone who's a normal human being, but just loves the thrill of that, and so they keep roping their friends into it, and their friends start to hate them.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to remove yourself a little bit from reality if you're going to do, like, a cartoon. You mentioned Rick and Morty. I think a cartoon would lend itself really well to that, where it's like you can hurt people and do stuff like that with less consequence. I don't think you can do live action and then it'd be like, hey, we're gonna go on this wild adventure. Hey, look, Timmy's getting all his blood sucked out by a giant mosquito. Whoa! It's like, no, that doesn't work. You gotta.
No, that's true. You make it do exactly what you just said, but make it an adult cartoon like Rick and Morty, and all of a sudden it's adult comedy. You know,
and now it's just dark, and that's okay. Well, apparently.
It's literally what Rick and Morty is. It's just adult comedy.
Yeah, let's do that.
You know what's crazy is Jumanji actually already has an animated show.
I know. I've heard about this.
It's wild, dude.
So yeah, isn't it?
So it's about Alan in the jungle.
Yeah,
and
there's the kids going.
It's the kids from the first Jumanji movie.
That doesn't make any
go
sense.
Go back in time and help him survive.
Okay, and is it like fun? Was it Funcational? Was it
Edutainment?
Edutainment is Edutainment.
I don't think so. I haven't
it's like,
watched
this is
it
what
myself.
You do if you're ever attacked by a snake. It's like, stop crying. You're gonna die.
Dude, using
your mom
Jumanji,
can't save you here, Timmy.
Like, using Jumanji as like the Bear Grylls version of Magic School Bus is amazing.
Okay, so there's a. Do you know who Colin Mockery is from Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Yes, I think so. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so there he has a video called it's like How to Survive in the Canadian Wilderness, and it's like that where he's just like it's a comedy video that's I think it's slightly educational, but it's like he's you know slapping a bear and all this other stuff. It's like an why can't I think of his name? He's a super famous UFC fighter. What's his name? He's so famous. Boss Rutten. Lost Rootin has a bar fight, like how to fight in like a bar fight. It's like the funniest thing on the face of the planet, but it actually does teach you stuff. So I don't know what my point was.
So
I want to inform people. But yeah,
I searched YouTube for How to Survive in the Canadian Wilderness, Colin Mockery, and the first video is like an hour and a half, and it's Wild Survival Guide with Colin Mockery.
Yep, that's gonna be it.
And then the second two are about him discussing gender. I'm like, oh, okay. That's how you survive in the Canadian wilderness.
Get into a long debate about
yeah, exactly. That's it's like a Dr. Phil style show. With him on it. It's very weird. That just got me thinking. What if Jumanji reality TV?
Okay, so the Saw flashbacks again, where it's like. Okay, so we're doing Hunger Games with Jumanji? Is that it?
No. Reality TV. Like, yeah. Like literally the reality TV that we have now. Like, freaking... The ones that I'm thinking of are, like, the ones where Gordon Ramsay goes and fixes a store or whatever.
Kitchen Nightmare is another thing, yeah.
Yeah. But, like, imagine if your life is that. And then you just have, like, the constant... Because you know how reality shows always play up the drama and everything? You just have the constant drama of, like, this is the last... You know, they play it up like this is the most important decision of your life. But you're, like, deciding whether or not to cook moldy bacon or something.
Oh, okay. So you're, like, you're still in Jumanji.
Yes.
And it's like, what will he do? Will he risk starvation? I have other rations. Will he risk starvation? It's like...
It's just Jumanji with an announcer. That's pretty good. This has turned into a lot more how we make Jumanji more silly, but Jumanji is like a comedy thing.
It can
anyway,
be,
especially
it,
modern. So
yeah. So
elaborate how you would make it really spooky, like just straight up survival horror. Like
yeah, I would have them not know what was going on, and so you know the world's being infested with giant insects.
Oh,
and
so
gorillas
you would,
with nine arms that.
So in your
you.
Version. The main characters aren't the people playing Jumanji.
No, they're
like
just
the
like normal
neighbors.
People who eventually find out. Yeah, they're just like
That'd
a normal
cool.
guy who eventually finds out. And so that's why the audience doesn't know that's a Jumanji thing. They're just a dude who eventually finds out, like, it's Jumanji. That's how the season would end. And then I wouldn't do a second season. And then they would hire some other people who would turn it into a Jumanji show. And that's not the point. The point is that you don't know. That's the whole thing. Anyway.
Yeah, no, so. I think that would be really interesting. Yeah.
Okay.
Finally, if you had to make Jumanji 3, Who would you get, like, The Rock and Kevin Hart to play this time? Because they've played an insecure teen, or The Rock has played... Well, let's do each of them. So, The Rock has played an insecure teen, and he's played Danny DeVito.
Okay.
Who do you get him to play next?
I think it should be The Rock that gets sucked into the game, and he plays himself, and he goes, did they steal my likeness for this game? I'm going to freaking sue. And that's about it. That's the whole thing. Just him getting out and constantly talking about how this is like a breach,
a rights violation.
This is a rights violation. This is his image. They can't use it like this. it's significant legal jargon. He has a cell phone and he's talking to his lawyer the whole time while also like climbing mountains and punching snakes. But he's just like nonstop, and it's a very
his lawyer is in the game and played by Kevin Hart.
No, it's just him. Lawyer is on the other. Lawyer is in some firm somewhere, and it's a very casual conversation that just lasts the whole time.
That's
fair. Yep,
that's pretty good.
And he's constantly. You see him constantly doing. It goes into like a middle shot of The Rock. It goes into a middle shot of The Rock, where you see him from the waist up, and it's just a focus on him, and it never breaks. There's no cuts. It lasts. The movie lasts for 2 hours. You see him constantly doing things, but you like. So he's constantly climbing things and punching things, and he's talking to his lawyer the whole time, but you never see what he's actually punching or where he is, and that's the movie.
That sounds...
And then he comes out, and he wins, gets out of the game, he goes, I'm coming for you, and then leaves, and that's it.
That sounds like it'd win an art house award.
Sounds great.
Because it's one take, and
cause it's one take. On the drama. That's all that matters. There's no content.
It's one take, and it's all focused on like the drama of the situation. It sounds a lot like Lock.
Yeah,
is that movie Lock with shoot, what's his name? He played Bane. What's his name?
Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy. Yeah. Tom Hardy in a car, and the whole thing is him on the phone with various people, and his life falls apart while he's driving. That's the whole movie.
Yeah, he told me about this. And then, yeah, it'd be like that, those films that our pretentious art teacher made us watch, the ones that are like 10 hours of a person sleeping.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think that'd be great.
That'd just be great.
This would be the next Citizen Kane they study in like 50 years.
Citizen Kane's actually a good movie. It's not pretentious. It's just good. There's a lot of pretentious media out there, but Citizen Kane's actually just good.
I actually still haven't seen it. I need to watch it.
It's good. It actually is. There's a lot of, like I said, there's a lot of them that you watch and you go like, okay, clearly that's being propped up because someone thinks they're smarter than they are. But no, Citizen Kane's actually really, really good with a decent payoff at the end, so.
Good.
Yeah.
My wife made an excellent decision where she said, make The Rock be possessed by a 9-year-old.
That sounds great.
A 9-year-old girl, yeah. That would be really fun. Then you do, like, the, you know, the classic, like, the adult man is doing, like, a tea party, stuff like that.
Sure. What if The Rock was possessed by noted mortal enemy Vin Diesel?
Oh, yes.
And that's it. That's the whole movie. It's just a so really good. Condescend, like The Rock, really condescendingly pretending to be Vin Diesel.
No, the whole movie is him pretending to like doing a really condescending voice of Vin Diesel, but all the dialogue is him making fun of his own body. He's like, Vin Diesel's muscles are better than this. That's amazing. I was thinking it'd be funny if. Maybe not that funny. If you do other characters from popular culture, so sure. Like The Rock is possessed by Gandalf or something.
Sure. I'm imagining that, and
it's pretty funny. He strokes a beard that's not there. Well, I think we've exhausted. For the actual sequel, I feel like I actually have no idea what they're gonna do. Like, I feel like the next step is either you go. More into like the speech pattern people, so you do like Christopher Walken or something, or you get new people to be in the game, so get like Tom Hardy and Cillian Murphy, get like the Christopher Nolan crew to be the next game's
avatars. It's just it's all the people from Inception, and they never say anything about it.
Yeah. Oh so. Man. that was pretty good. So I think we've wrapped up. It's a little shorter than Scarecrow, but I mean, Jumanji has less history, so we're just kind of spitballing random ideas.
Yeah, well, that's one that I think we're seeing the extremes of. In Scarecrow, you see extreme limitation, and then in Jumanji's like, you can do anything, but also jungle. It's like both are equally challenging to kind of overcome. Where it's just like, I want to do a romantic comedy with Jumanji. It's like, you could totally do it. In fact, you could argue that some of the other movies were romantic comedies already, you know?
No. It would definitely be... So a romantic comedy Jumanji would be that The Rock falls in love with one of the...
The Rock. He finds a picture of...
No, we did that with Loki.
The character.
We've already had incest romance. No, I'm tired of it.
It's too late. The character finds a picture of Dwayne The Rock Johnson, and he goes, I don't know who this man is.
With hair.
Darn. Yeah.
With hair in the
turtleneck. With hair from the 90s.
With the hair in the turtleneck, yeah.
Yeah, perfect.
That'd be really good.
He goes on a quest to escape the game so he can meet this gorgeous man. He meets The Rock, and The Rock goes, they stole my image. And that's an hour and a half of him on the phone talking to a lawyer.
I really like the idea that The Rock is possessed by other, like, big, strong men from Hollywood, and the whole time they just belittle The Rock's body. These tattoos aren't nearly as cool as Jason Momoa's tattoos. Jason Momoa has hair. I mean, can you do that, John? Dwayne? That's not even in Jumanji anymore. It's just a little clip of Dwayne, like, making fun of himself, essentially. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway, so I think that we'll call it there. That was pretty fun. And I think ultimately we are going to adapt Cancer Jumanji.
I think that's the one. That's the one that wins.
Yeah.
It's just the natural.
It's really funny to keep up. So it's really funny to keep upping the ridiculousness of these things. So I know it's like, it's really funny to you because it's like a drama, really intense drama with the mom dying of cancer, and then it ends, and then it comes with Cancer Jumanji. But then, like, imagine if you do it again, like a reboot, but this time the mom is a flamingo. But you play it the exact same.
That's right.
And it's the flamingo dies of cancer.
Never addressed.
It comes up with Cancer Jumanji 2.
All her lines are just squawks, but everyone acts like she's saying things. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Just plays it completely straight.
Or even better, you get the ostrich to be voiced by Vin Diesel. just completely, I don't know. It just keeps upping the weirdness.
Just descends, he's in his deathbed. The fling was his bed. No. Oh, God. The flamingo's in her deathbed, voiced by Vin Diesel, saying their goodbyes. Yeah. And then The Rock bursts through the door, says, what'd you say about me? And then they fight.
Just pummels the crap out of the flamingo.
Right. Yeah, I think we've reached that point.
The Rock was possessed by Danny DeVito. All right.
Yeah, all right.
Thanks, everybody. If you have ideas for what kind of Jumanji you would do, send them in and let us know. I'm actually genuinely curious.
Yeah, there's a lot of places to go with this.
Yeah, let's see what else we can do. What other ridiculousness? Calling back to the Scarecrow episode, it'd be fun to do a Jumanji cooking show as well. That'd be fun. I feel like every episode now is going to have a cooking show and... we'll see. Yeah, thanks for hanging out. Thank you, Zach, for all your brilliant ideas, like the courtroom drama and all that stuff. All right, and we will see you guys next time.
See you next time.
Bye.